Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months, then come the harvest.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily gospel broadcast with special emphasis on missions and rural evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stinnett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Dr. Ballou and today's broadcast.
It's harvest time.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you again today, thankful to God for the open door, the opportunity that's mine of coming to the radio microphone and sharing together with you another gospel broadcast. I trust whatever you're doing, you can kindly just slow down your pace and join in with us. Maybe get your Bible and study along with us as we open the Word of God together and allow God to speak to our heart today from the precious Word of God. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege. It's mine to come again to the radio microphone and to begin another week of broadcasting the gospel of the grace of God. I'm thankful to the Lord for the stations that I have the privilege to be on, and I do want you to pray for the ministry. God would bless it and use it, and the Lord's will would be done. I want you to open your Bible today. I begin a new message. We're looking today at the Great Commission as it's given to us in the Word of God, and I want to begin a message today on the subject, but preacher, why missions? Have you ever wondered why missions? Why do churches support missionaries? Why do we try to raise money to send off to missionaries? And why do we try to get people to go elsewhere in the world and serve the Lord? In fact, some time ago, as I was preaching and studying and meditating on missions, I thought about this. To a natural-minded person, missions is a very unwise thing. You might say it's a foolish thing. You see, when we have a missions meeting, we're trying to get people to give money to send around the world that we could use right here at home. And we're trying to get people to leave here and go somewhere else and serve God when we could use them right here in our own home churches. And so I thought upon the question, but preacher, why missions? And I want to deal with that throughout the next few broadcasts as the Holy Spirit directs us. And I hope you'll listen. Let God speak to your heart and the Lord's will be done as we study the Word of God together. And I want to read this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, verse number 18 through verse number 20. The Bible said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that's the Great Commission as it's recorded for us in the book of Matthew. Again, we read from the book of Mark, chapter number 16 and verse number 15, where the Bible said, "And he said unto them," talking about our resurrected Lord, "and he said unto them," speaking to his disciples, "and he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "said unto his disciples and to us today, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He said then in verse number 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, I know, and I know that you know, there are religions, who build upon verse number 16, and they use this verse of Scripture to teach baptismal regeneration. In other words, you must be baptized in order to be saved. But a close look at verse number 16 reveals to us, it is not the unbaptized who is damned, but it's the unbeliever who is damned. And I will not use that word anyway, any time, except in its scriptural context. But the Word of God uses it here, he that believeth not is damned. It's not the unbaptized, but the unbeliever that is under the judgment of God. And then the Bible said again in the book of Luke, chapter number 24 And verse number 46, the Bible said, "And he," Jesus, "said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." And then he said in verse number 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." That's the account of the Great Commission given in the Gospel according to Luke. And then the Bible said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the last words before our Lord's ascension, "He said again to his disciples, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So I've given to you this morning from the Word of God the Great Commission as it's given us, recorded four different times, and then some would say even five times. And they base the fifth one upon the book of John, chapter number 20, where our Lord, after his resurrection, appears in the upper room behind closed doors to the disciples. And he said unto them in verse number 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples in that upper room, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." When I look at that verse of scripture, then my mind automatically goes back to John chapter 3, verse number 17. The Bible said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so the Lord does not send us out into the world to condemn the world. They're condemned already. But he sends us out that through our teaching and preaching and testifying of the Word of God, then they might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I know that's reading quite a lot of scripture this morning, but today, but I wanted to lay the foundation, and then I want to back up and deal with it as the Holy Ghost directs us in the days to come. But I'm preaching on the subject, but preacher, why missions? And may I say to you first of all, and this one should be enough, but I'll give you some others, but preacher, why missions? May I say to you, the command of the scriptures demands that we be involved in missions. Now may I say to you this morning that every true church is a missions-hearted, missions-involved church. There is no such thing as a church being a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ and being excused from missions. Many times I've said it down the road of life as I've traveled and preached the Word of God. Anybody can get together and claim to be a church. But a church is not a church if that church is ignoring the Great Commission given by the resurrected Lord. Fact is, any group of people that call themselves a church that ignores the Great Commission is no more than a civic club or a social organization. A requirement of being a New Testament church is that we be involved in the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I realize when you talk about the Great Commission, there are those who would try to excuse themselves by a number of different arguments. There are those who would say, "Well, preacher, that is the Jewish commission. It was given only to the Jews." Well, I remind you that the church at this time was only Jews. The believers, the disciples, were only Jews. There were no Gentiles in those first group of believers. In those believers, there was none at that time. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives that not to the Jewish nation, but to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say to you, if this is not the commission of the Gentiles, where is it? Where is the Great Commission of the church? Where's our marching orders? What is our purpose? I submit to you without an apology that there is none other commission given to the church except this one that our Lord Jesus gave here. And let me also deal with this while I'm there. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the commander-in-chief of the armies of our God. And I learned as I studied the military, when the commander-in-chief issues an order, one of three things happens to that order. Number one, it can be executed fully and victory declared. Number two, if that first one is not so, then the commander-in-chief can rescind the order. He can call the troops home and cancel the order. But then number three, if one of the first two is not taken place, if the commission is not, if the commandment has not been carried out completely, and if the order has not been rescinded, then that order still stands in effect. When I look at the Great Commission, I submit to you that we have not fully executed the order of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. I submit to you from a study of the Word of God over these many years that I've been preaching that the Lord Jesus Christ did not, he has not rescinded his order. And then may I say to you, since the order has not been carried out completely and fully, and since it's not been rescinded, then the order still stands effective for the church of our day. So we see here, my friend, that we must be involved in missions because of the command of the Scripture. And again, I want to emphasize, any church that's not involved in carrying out the Great Commission has no right to claim to be a New Testament church. And any individual Christian who's not involved in carrying out the Great Commission has no right to claim to be a New Testament Christian. God wants all of his people and requires all of his people to be involved in reaching others with the gospel of the grace of our God. Let me just ask you today, what are you doing? What is your church doing toward carrying out the Great Commission? What are you doing in the work of missions? I remind you, when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be no excuses. None will be accepted. They'll burn in the flames of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, the Lord willing, on the next broadcast, we'll continue our study and look at these things that are taught us here in the Word of God. Father, take the Word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
The fields are white. It's harvest time. Say not for months.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for the open door that's mine to come to the radio microphone day after day and share with you the message from the Word of God. I appreciate you listening, and I'm grateful to God for the radio stations that carry the broadcast. Let me encourage you today that you pray for this ministry, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to waste my time and your time and radio station time and the broadcast not be a blessing. And then I want to encourage you that you write to us. A letter from you would be a blessing to us. Let us know who you are, where you're at, and if the broadcast is a blessing to you. And then I encourage you, if the Lord would lead you to do so, that you share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time. That's 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. You spell Resaca, R-E-S-A-C-A. And be sure to join us again each day, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you is our prayer.
The heart.